There is nothing that kills a party quicker than running out of wine. When the wine is gone, the guests quickly begin a litany of excuses for why they must now depart. The babysitter must get home early. I have a meeting at 8 o'clock in the morning. It's been fun, but I have so much to do at home. I just really need to get going. It's almost comical how quickly a casual, relaxed atmosphere can turn into a rush to the door when the realization hits that there is no more wine. Now, maybe that isn't the case in all traditions, but it is in many, and it certainly is in ours. No wine is a party killer. This is something that seems to not have changed with the passage of time. It's true today, and it was true in Jesus' day. I recently was informed of an ancient rabbinic saying, where there is no wine, there is no joy. I get that. Mary, the mother of Jesus, seems to get that too. A wedding celebration is going on in Cana. Wedding celebrations in those days lasted for at least a week. And those of you who have hosted weddings in recent years are probably breathing a sigh of relief that our culture no longer has week-long celebrations hosted by the groom's family. I can tell you, as the mother of a son to be married later this year, I'm thrilled that that is no longer the case. But that was the cultural norm of the day, at least for the more upstanding families. The celebration of the wedding went on for a week as the groom's family welcomed their newest acquisition, in this case, a daughter-in-law, into their holdings. Mary and her son had been invited to this particular wedding. Some traditions hold that Mary was the sister of the groom's mother, which is not too far-fetched given her involvement in the scene that unfolds. Jesus, Mary's son, has been invited too, which may or may not confirm a family relation. He's brought some friends who will become disciples. The family of the groom is teetering on the edge of total embarrassment because the wine has run out. Mary, who is apparently involved in the wedding arrangements, or at least the behind-the-scenes activities, discovers this looming disgrace. She goes to her son and shares her concern with him. She doesn't openly ask him to do anything. She merely shares her concern with him. They have no more wine. Did Mary know that her son had the capability of changing water to wine? Or did she think he'd go from house to house gathering the wine from the families nearby? Probably not, because the nearby families would have been in attendance at the party. And there was no Tyson wine and things down the street, so Jesus couldn't have just gone to Janet to solve his problem like the rest of us would do. Jesus' response to his mother is just as puzzling as her seeming expectation that he could somehow do something to spare this family embarrassment and shame. Remember, in this culture, there is nothing worse than shame. Jesus says, "What is this to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." This sounds like a personal conversation. Some key elements seem to be missing. What hour has not come? And what does this hour have to do with a lack of wine? I've noted in the past, and rightfully I believe, that the reason Jesus' mother doesn't light into him for his obvious lack of respect for his mother, which might even be argued to be a breakage of the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. The reason I think that Mary didn't light into him is because all the while she is giving him the look. Words say one thing, but body language another. And I still hold that throughout this interchange between mother and son, Mary knows that without a shadow of a doubt, she will get her way. And it's because of that certainty that she confidently goes to the servants and tells them, do whatever he tells you to. She knows. A mother knows her child, and Mary knew this child. She had the experience of an angel before he was conceived. Joseph did too. Simeon, the old man in the temple, had recognized the true nature of this child as an infant. He sang, Lord, you now have set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised. For these eyes of mine have seen the Savior, whom you have prepared for all the world to see. A light to enlighten the nations and the glory of your people, Israel. He told Mary her heart would be pierced. She knew all these things. She knew all of this and more. So much is left unknown in the life of Jesus and his family from the time he was 12 to this moment in the wedding at Cana. There's so much we don't know. But Mary did. Mary knew. And she, it seems that she had no doubt that Jesus would come through and save this family from their pending shame. But why? Why would Jesus have anything to do with something as unimportant, as irrelevant, and even superfluous as wine? Why does John have this event, this wedding party, as his version of the Epiphany? The event in which Christ's true nature is revealed. Wouldn't it have actually been more Christ-like for him to be healing lepers or reviving children? Wouldn't his divine nature have been better revealed in a more grandiose and important way? Why is Jesus changing water into wine at a wedding? And not just a little wine, and about somewhere to around 700 bottles, and not just wine, but really, really good wine. Why not? This epiphany, this aha moment, this revelation of Jesus as the Christ is very much in keeping with the Gospel of John. The Gospel that begins with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And continues to include the words, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Those words say so much, but sound so far removed. It's one thing to say, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, but it's another for Jesus to be at a wedding, to be informed that wine is running out, and to have him change water into wine. Lots of wine, tons of wine, really good wine. He is among us, with us, in the everyday matters of life. So often we say, oh, God has bigger things to worry about than, meaning that there are much bigger problems in the world than whatever problem I might be experiencing in my life right now. And this story of wine at the wedding in Cana tears that notion to shreds. God cares about us. God cares about our lives on all levels. God cares about our world on all levels. The really scary things like war and famine, and the really small things like weddings and wine. He's with us in the ordinary and in the grand, in all aspects of our life and of our world. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Thanks be to God. Amen.